89.1 WEMU, and some amazing piano playing to start this hour of 89.1 Jazz from Andy Adamson, who's my guest this morning on 89.1 WEMU. Good morning.
Good morning, Linda. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Oh, this is the first time you and I have shared a studio together.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. We've known each other for many years.
Many, many years, yeah. And in many different situations.
It's true.
And you finally convinced me to line you up for the 501 Jazz Show.
That's true, but I also finally, you know, put all my music together in a way that I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been writing music for many years and playing it with various bands, but I never had the people around me, the musicians around me, that I really felt could put the music together and forth in the correct manner. So when I heard Dan Bennett play, he played with me in FUBAR, I heard a sax playing, and I went, oh, my goodness, here's a person that can really play my music. And we got together, and that's how we formed this latest Andy Adamson Quartet Band.
It is. It's fabulous. So you mentioned FUBAR. And this is the first time you and I have ever done an interview. And you can go to andyadamson.org, right?
Yeah, andyadamsonquartet.org.
Quartet.org and learn more about Andy. But since this is radio and conversation, you should pretty much tell the Andy Adamson story on the microphone for people.
Well, sure. Yeah, so I'm a self-taught musician. I started by attempting to take piano lessons in fifth grade, and I could hear the music instead of, because my brother played it before me. We both took piano lessons together. And I would not read the music. I just play what my brother played because I could hear it. I formed my own band in sixth grade and wrote some tunes. And all through junior high school and high school, I played in bands. In high school, a band in particular was funny, is Pegasus. And Rick Jacoby, who's a very well-known local musician, I played with him. And I started really in college writing a lot more tunes. And as I moved out of college and went and played all over the Detroit area, I played with Melodioso, I played with Dick Siegel. Then I went and played a lot of disco and a lot of R&B and rock and roll in Detroit area and the Chicago area. And I'd always be writing these tunes. And I never really had the vehicle or the means to put together my own band. And I did one recording in 1991 in my garage, which some of the songs that which we still play. But the rest of it's been just a journey of following my heart and just, you know, really enjoying playing the piano. I play it every day. I just love it. When I'm on the piano, I'm the happiest person ever.
Oh my. Tell me about your home piano.
My home piano is a Yamaha C6-foot.
Uh-huh.
And it's, I chose it specifically through King Keyboard. Jim King helped me find one there at the bottom register was good. All these six-foot Yamaha Baby Grands have a very distinct bottom third.
I could hear that, especially in the song we just heard, Angel Fire. You know, yeah. There's just really something in like where your left hand is hitting.
Yeah, I'm growling down there. And in fact, that's actually a 9-foot Steinway inside the studio.
Oh.
But my piano has a similar sense that it, you know, that it really gives you a good bass. I love that good thick bass.
Mm-hmm.
So
on the cover of the CD, is this sort of a sketch of your home piano?
Yeah, that is. I wanted to have something on the front that showed exactly what I do. And so I said, oh, I'll just sketch my piano, and that's what I did.
You know, that's better than putting a computer on the front of a CD.
That's true. Yeah, it's always interesting trying to find something, you know, for a cover of a CD. Something from your life is always good.
Yeah. Andy Adamson is my guest, and if you'd like to see the cover of the CD, I have posted it on the WEMU Facebook page. Did you do the sketch, Andy?
Yeah, I did.
I kind of thought so. That you're really a self-made person.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think we all are. Everybody is. It's just a matter of, you know, I was been lucky enough to have something that really caught my attention in my youth, i.e. Mm-hmm. playing the piano. And I'm lucky enough to have the interest all through my life. So, you know, practice makes perfect.
It does. Andy Adamson's my guest, and he's kicking off our Sesi Motors 501 Jazz Show at the Rush Street Nightclub a week from Friday. That will be the 7th of October, 5:01 p.m. sharp. And we're discussing a cry for peace. And tell me why you think we need a cry for peace.
Yeah. You know, the world has always been, all through history, human beings have, you know, been contrary to each other. And it's in our nature. And solving problems with war is just not a good idea.
No.
And it's been, you know, recently been very obvious that this is a big struggle. There's a big struggle in, you know, do we do diplomacy? Do we do war? Do we talk to each other, or do we just cut each other off and fight? Do we hate, or do we try to understand each other? So that's what A Cry for Peace is. And this when I wrote this song, it's interesting searching for a title when you write a tune. You know, and it takes me a long time sometimes to get the one that I really like. And so I had several other names for this song, and when I came up with A Cry for Peace, I realized that that was the feeling that I had when I heard the song, that we need peace, and this is expressing it, both the need for it and the peace of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the song starts out very low dynamic and then builds very to an intense dynamic. And so this, yeah.
Well, and when I listened to it, I heard your love of John Coltrane.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I love John Coltrane and McCoy Tyner. It's funny because I've really never collected music. I don't have a music collection at all. I mean, I did listen to McCoy Tyner and John Coltrane early on, obviously. And I listened to, you know, radio, and I listened to it. But I don't have a music collection. I always just had so much music in my head that I just use that and play. So yeah, but I just loved John Coltrane and McCoy Tyner just reach out and touch me in a very deep space. And so I was there. A big influence on my music.
A big influence. And when before we get to the song, so when you appear at Rush Street, I was just assuming that you were able to get everybody that's on the CD for the performance.
Absolutely. Yes.
Good.
Oh, yes. These guys, John Taylor on the drums, U of M trained.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, he can read music right down. I hand him my complex charts, and to him, they're not complex. He just reads them right down. Brennan Andy's on the bass. I've known Brennan. He used to come over to my house when he was in high school because he played with my son. And so I've known him for a long, long time, and he's the most excellent bass player.
Oh, yeah.
Dan Bennett, again, just phenomenal sax player in my view. Again, you know, trained at U of M and just reads music down and has really, 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 all three of these guys have worked very hard on their music, and I'm just so blessed to have them around to play. So yeah, they're going to be there.
All right, you are the catalyst for this ensemble.
Yeah, and you know, in my viewpoint, they're all better musicians than I am, which is sort of what, you know, happens when it's the best thing possible when you form a band, that you get people better than you to push you along, and I am definitely pushed by these guys.
Cool. Cool. Here's Andy Adamson, title track from the CD A Cry for Peace on 89.1 WEMU.
Thank you.
89.1 WEMU. That's A Cry for Peace. It's the title of the CD by the pianist, composer, Andy Adamson, who's my guest this morning on 89.1 WEMU. And Andy, you were telling me that in this recording that saxophonist Dan Bennett didn't even have any amplification. You played him on mic?
No, not in the recording, but okay. When we play at Rush Street.
Okay.
No, that's where he was unmiked.
Okay.
Because he's so powerful and you know, and dynamic and such, and the room is the right size that we can just play to him. No, in the studio he had a mic on.
Yes. Oh, okay. And you were talking about the difference between you and some other musicians in that you've chosen to be your own person, your own man, and do original music as opposed to doing covers of standards. Let's talk about that with listeners.
Yeah, sure. Standards are great. The jazz history is great. I just have a lot of music in my head. Excuse me, my throat's getting dry.
Okay, we can get you some water.
Yeah, but so I've always, you know, with this band, I wanted to just do my music and push it through and really focus on what I hear, and not dilute it with other composers,
mm-hmm.
at least for a while, to see what's going on, to really push forth, you know, the ideas that I have, and to make it a total experience for the audience that when they hear it, they know that everything's been written by me, and arranged by me, and of course the musicians I play with, there's a lot of space in my songs. I depend upon the other musicians to bring out the music. But as a composer, that's where I really get my joy, is to hear the music that I've written expressed by other people, and to have a whole night of it uninterrupted is part of what I'm working towards, is to have control and to have of the whole night, so I can push a general mood, not just a mood per song.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And, you know, in your life, You played with FUBAR, and that it's just such a great dance band. It's such a crazy band. but in your life, when did you really come to terms with the fact that a big part of your persona is what I'm going to call jazz, this instrumental music? When did you discover that?
Oh, yeah. That was in college.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Mahavishnu Orchestra.
Oh, my.
The Birds of Fire album came out. Before that, I've always been interested in the Coltrane and McCoy Tyner. Let's mm-hmm. get that straight. That was my first jazz influence. But when I heard Birds of Fire and I realized I could combine some of the rock beats with jazz like they did, that I was very influenced by that as well. And so at that point in college, 18, 19, 20, I started really working on the ability to play jazz, because it's not an easy thing to do, and to teach myself how to improvise. And so to that end, I played scales like crazy, and I just would do all the modalities, and then I would take a note and play all the major scales that would pass through that note. So if I'm sitting on an F, then I'd play all the scales that had an F in them, so that when I was at a point, you know, playing a note, I had all these possibilities to
wow.
go to, and I just really enjoyed working on it. I started hearing that, and so I just, you know, without any goal in mind, other than being able to do it, I just started playing and playing and playing and playing,
playing and playing and playing. And so, would you find yourself in that situation where you're sort of messing around with the piano and mm-hmm. and creating? Would you like come to, and it would be like 2 or 3 hours later, and you go, wow.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Oh, my.
You know, it's also very interesting writing music, because I hear myself do something in the middle of just, you know, I oftentimes go to the piano and just start playing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I do. And then when I find something that's interesting, I record it or write it down, and then I go back later and listen to it and develop it. So all these tunes here that you've seen that I'm on the recording, and it's also a lot of the ones that we're going to be playing from our next recording. We're going to be playing some tunes at 501. Have come about mostly, you know, with over long years of taking a piece and then realizing, oh, I hear the rest of this song, and putting it together. Now, some songs come out all at once. The Secret of Life, I sat down and played it. A Cry for Peace, I sat down and played it. You know, there's a couple, but some of them, it takes years before I feel like, oh, I've got this one now. I finally understood it. And it's one of the most, it's a big pleasure in my life when I do that, when I resolve a piece.
Okay. Wow. You know, and you've brought big pleasure to all of us sharing that story. You know, and I'm glad we can stretch out, because when you're at the 501 show, you want to keep the music going and not talk too much.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So let's play one of those influences for WEMU listeners. We talked about your love of McCoy Tyner, and this one is just gorgeous. It's McCoy Tyner's Sunset from 1962. Again, my guest is Andy Adamson on 89.1 WEMU, and he'll kick off our free Sesame Motors 501 Jazz Show a week from Friday. That's October 7th. 89.1 WEMU. You know, sometimes things just work out perfectly. It's a rainy day, and we just played, I think, something that works really well on a rainy day, that song Sunset from McCoy Tyner.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. You know, have you found Andy Adamson is my guest, and we're talking about his music, his CD, A Cry for Peace, and his 501 Jazz appearance a week from this Friday, again, the 7th of October. Andy, have you found in life that there's just these happy coincidences, that these things that just set you up and the music seems to go perfectly?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, I pride myself in the fact to be able to sort of recognize some of those before they hit, mm-hmm. you know, to look for them and to try to set myself up and the situations up so that the perfect musical moment occurs. Because, for instance, when you're going into the studio to record, you know that you've played the song with your fellow musicians many times, and that sometimes it's great and sometimes it's not so great. So what is it about the setup, and what can you do so that, you know, you prepare the space both in, you know, technically but also spiritually and in your mind and the mood to bring the best of the music out? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's all hooked into noticing things in life that times in life where you make a move and everything lines up perfectly and it's all great. So it happens in music and it happens in life, and I think music for me has allowed me to develop a sense of that.
Yes, yes, yes. You mentioned that you're writing some new you've been writing material, yeah. And that you are going to record a new CD. So let's talk about that future.
Yeah, so I have another 10 songs that are, again, arranged from, you know, 1981 all the way to 2015 that I've written that we're playing now and that we will play probably 6 or 7 of those songs at 501 for the next Andy Adamson Quartet album.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also continuously writing. I'm playing catch-up here. Oh. And it's a nice place to be in because my fellow musicians are very interested in continuing on doing this. I mean, let's put some kudos out to John, Dan, and Brennan.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking time to play my music, and these guys travel the world, and they are very busy people. And I'm very glad that they're in town and that we can, you know, get together as much as we do, and that they support the music that I write.
Oh, yeah, Brennan Andes especially. I mean, to be able to, you know, I guess, and that's one of the reasons that you got in touch with me, like,
yes.
Really early on. Linda, I want to do this 501 show, because you knew how hard it would be to line up your guys to make
Absolutely.
Sure that they would all be there.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. And it is great. Yeah, so being able to line these guys up for a gig is one of those examples of, you were just talking about it, the world fits together just right. You know, you have to try to make those things happen, and if they do, that's great, and if they don't, then you say fine and move on.
And
so,
move on.
But it looks like we'll have time to do the album in January, February, March, and so that's what we're going to do. And so you'll be hearing some more Andy Adamson Quartet music.
Good. And WEMU listeners will be hearing Andy Adamson and the quartet. So let's hear one more. And I have chosen another of the WEMU hits early one morning. And Andy Adamson, before we wrap up, let's talk about the genesis of this song. And again, wrap up what's going to be happening.
Yeah. So I played this song solo, came up with all the melodies and everything all at once. It was I have jams at my house where there are no songs. Musicians just show up, we turn the recording on. I have a 16-track digital recorder in my house and the grand piano and all that. Bring the drums from upstairs, put it in the great room, and we jam. And prior to people coming over, I sit down to the piano and say, "Well, what am I going to contribute?" And this song is one that came out. I mean, I didn't have all the arrangement of it, but I had all the melodies right from the very first time through. So I just sat down the piano and played it.
All right. Just sat down at the piano and played it. Andy Adamson, who is going to play piano. Again, Dan Bennett will play saxophone. Brennan Andes, the bassist. Jonathan Taylor, the drummer, will kick off the 2016 into 17 501 Jazz Series Friday, October 7th, Rush Street Nightclub, 314 South Main Street in Ann Arbor, and it's free for WEMU listeners. It'll be during our fall pledge drive. It's an opportunity to come and celebrate WEMU and the community during the pledge drive. So it's like we're going to take the pledge drive on the road, you know?
Yeah. Sounds great.
And we'll take the pledge drive on the road to Rush Street, and we'll hear this song early one morning. Andy, thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you.
89.1 WEMU. Music of Andy Adamson, early one morning from A Cry for Peace, Andy Adamson, who will appear 1 week from Friday, that's October 7th, at the Rush Street Nightclub in Ann Arbor for WEMU's free Sesame Motors 501 Jazz Show. We do have an article about Andy up at our website, WEMU.org, so check there. And, of course, we'll post more on WEMU's Facebook page, and we'll keep you abreast of his appearance and then the entire series. Support for WEMU comes from you, our listeners, and from the Northside Grill on Broadway near Pontiac Trail, open for breakfast and lunch, 7 a.m. until 3 p.m., 7 days a week, and home of the Morning Egg Dishon Breakfast Sandwich, 995-0965 or northsidegrill.com. NPR and WEMU News at a minute past 11. Taking us there, beautiful piece from Brad Meldow, and I love her.